Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
He could have gone either way. He took a chance, and Nick was right. He got lucky. Giannis is a bad man, everyone. Lucky. Do the Suns have any chance of stopping the Greek Freak after what you saw last night? An absolute dud from Devin Booker. How much of game three falls on his shoulders after what he did last night? And guess who made it all the way to Milwaukee? Papa Smurf. Has some color issues, but he got it right. There he is. Good Monday morning, everyone. Went orange instead of blue. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright. Oh, Brandon Marshall, Kevin. Nick, you think that guy regrets making the trip? Headgear, makeup, and all?
I don't know, and I don't care. I'm rich. I'm just here because I love you guys. Did you not see that? 401k, doubled. Doubled, America. Let's go.
You get penalties.
Ask me about the stupid Smurf.
You get penalties for taking out your 401k.
No penalties.
All right. Let's start with Nick's portfolio. Suns, Bucks, game three. And just like in game two, Giannis, once again, the story. Total domination from the Greek Freak. 41 points, 13 rebounds. And Brandon, he made free throws. Bucks looked much more comfortable at home. They came alive shooting. They got help from both Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Yeah, good for him. We got ourselves a series now as Milwaukee gets the much-needed win. After the game, Giannis on this incredible journey.
I've come a long way just to be able to, you know, sit here, being interviewed by you guys, playing in these games, being with my teammates, you know, thinking I'm going to be out for a year, coming back. Like, you know, it's been a long journey, and I'm trying to enjoy every single moment of it. And I know I've said in the past that I'm going to be doing this for a while, you know, for the next 10, 12, whatever years, whatever my goal is. So I'm just trying to enjoy each day, try to take as much as possible from each day and try to be in the moment and just being able to be out there.
It's a series and understanding that and, you know, understanding it's the NBA Finals. And, you know, I said it after last game, you know, this team's not going to give in. They're going to keep playing all the way through. So we have to bring that same effort, you know, that we had in the first two games. And I think we'll be in good shape.
First of all, I love that these guys look at the box score while they're up there at the dais. All right, before we get into the conversation, check this out. This is the list of guys with consecutive 40-point double-doubles in the finals. It's Shaq. Good it's list. LeBron. It's Giannis. That's the list. Nick, we talked about it. You bet a lot of money the Bucks would win last night. You knew they would show up. Has this series flipped after the way they won?
Oh, indeed it has, Jenna. Indeed it has. And so here's the thing. I feel badly for my partner Brandon Marshall because it was all sitting there for him to go with the Bucks. Because what do we know about Brandon Marshall? We know a lot of things about Brandon Marshall. Brilliant businessman, Hall of Fame caliber NFL career, but also maybe the most notable thing on television is talks about the mental side of sports more than just about anybody. He tells us about this great book, Mind, Body, The Peaceful Warrior Mastery, or that might be multiple books, whatever it is. I've got it on my shelf somewhere. All of it. And if there was any team that had mastered the mental side of the game headed into these playoffs and throughout these playoffs, it's these Milwaukee Bucks. Hey, Miami kicked our butts last year. Let's pick them in the first round and deal with them. Kevin Durant throwing haymaker after haymaker. The Bucks keep getting up off the mat. They watch Giannis writhing in pain, seemingly done for the rest of this year and maybe next year. No problem. Down 2-0 to Phoenix. You know what? As Leo said in The Departed, my hand doesn't shake. We're ready to go. And now what they have is they know that Giannis is going to crush fools night in, night out. And if they play their game defensively and just get one other guy to step up on the offensive side. Last night it was Drew Holiday. Then they're the better team. Yeah. Because when you have a guy who's going to give you 40 and 15 on 60% shooting night in, night out, your path to victory is so much simpler than the other teams. So the only reason, Brandon, I would say it hasn't flipped is because I feel like Milwaukee was in this position all along, but I know I'm in the minority there. But now, I am very curious. I've been excited all morning to hear what you're going to say about this game, because I think the Bucks have stolen control of the series from Phoenix.
Bravo. Bravo. That's what I'm going to say, Nick. and you're right. Yeah, I talk about mindset all the time. It's not about the Milwaukee Bucks. It's about Giannis. Giannis all year have said, I'm not going to get too high. I'm not going to get too low. This dude is truly embracing the moment. That's how every athlete should actually approach their game. He's doing it, and he's setting an example. But bravo is the theme here, Nick. Bravo. Finally, after four games, you played him twice in a regular season game. Giannis averaged 40, mm-hmm. and you played him twice already. Well, three times now, and you finally got it done. So bravo, Milwaukee Bucks. My pick isn't changing. I said that it'll be a gentleman's sweep. I said that the Suns will get it done in five. So bravo. You are actually on track to not being swept. That's what this is. Come on. Wow. And if we want to talk a little bit of basketball, Kevin, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Yeah, really quick, I'm going to throw it to you. Talk a little bit of basketball. Look, I don't know what happened to Book. I don't know what happened to Ayton. So, yeah, when you have Giannis on the other side doing what he did, not only just we're talking about rebounds, talking about points, and, yeah, Jenna hitting his free throws, we're talking about the energy. You saw that one in the third quarter, he dunked the ball. It was a loose ball, and he finally came down with it. He just shook the rim. That's why they won that game. And on the other side, there was no juice, and they were flat. So I expect CP3 and company to come out next game with so much more juice and actually get the job done.
Okay, so here's why I'm a little bit on the fence. Because we saw that once Chris Paul went down against the Lakers series, we're like, uh-oh, it's time to write off the Suns. They came back and won game four. So I'm not willing to write off the Suns by any stretch of the imagination. But Brandon, when you talk about energy and you talk about demoralizing plays, Giannis was so dominant in that game, it felt like a Mike Tyson fight. It felt like, you know what, I'm going to come in here and get anything I want. They played five times now, and I know you like to say that you know, the Suns have won the majority of those times. But here's what else also has happened the majority of those times. Giannis has scored 43 out of the five games. He had 28 points last night in the restricted area. He had the average shot length was 2 feet. 2 feet. So, Nick, I think if there ever is going to be sort of an energy sort of shift with Giannis playing dominant and Booker sitting on the bench and even Drew Holiday's like, hey, I don't know what happened to Book. I think this could be it. I think we go back to Phoenix tied. I'm ready to put a Nick Wright guarantee that we're headed back to Phoenix tied. Are you willing to join me in the Nick Wright guarantee? You have to join me because there's copyright infringement if you don't.
Probability was on his side.
Yeah, of course. I told you. I told you before the series how this was going to go. Phoenix up 2-0. Then it's tied 2-2. Then Phoenix wins game 5, and then the Bucks win game 6 and 7. Exactly what they did against Brooklyn. Done. They're going to do again against Phoenix.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
So I think I can answer a couple of the questions though. Brandon said, "I don't know what happened to Ayton." I do. He got in foul trouble because he has to deal with this behemoth, this monster, night in, night out. What happened to Booker? Now, we're going to talk more about Booker later. But very quietly, Devin Booker has worn down in these playoffs. It's been 8 games since he shot 50% from the field. 8 games. I'm just telling you, he's never played this many games in a season this late into a season.
You know what
it was? It's a thing. It's a thing and the moment. And so, go ahead, Brandon. What was it?
Well, no, you're talking basketball, and I was going to go all the way to the other side. Forget it. Remember what I said Friday. What they need to do to get the job done, they need to call Ian's Pizza Cream City Factory and put something in there like they did against, you know, the flu game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they end up doing.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
By the way, Jenna,
when you see Booker.
Jenna, let me tell you something. Oh, you're saying for Booker. Brandon was joking about that, and Wilds off the air put on his bougie TV executive hat and was like, you cannot endorse poisoning. It's a felonious act. Let me tell you right now, that happened, Wilds. I'm explaining it. Let me tell you right now. The only hope of stopping Giannis is that. But food poisoning, maybe a Celtic Pride style kidnapping. Other than that, Nick, it's 40-15 15 every single
night. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Brandon.
Okay, Giannis can drop 40. He can grab 15 boards. Uh-huh. Yeah, and if Ayton is doing his job, agreed, he doesn't get in foul trouble. And then if you have Booker, who actually steps up and do what he's supposed to do, then it's a different game. Come on, those guys were non-existent last night.
Giannis dropped 40-plus in game two, and they lost. So it is possible he does need help around him. We'll have so much more from game three still to come. Do the Suns have a right to be upset over the free throw disparity last night? We'll dive into that next. First things first on a Monday morning.
Thank you, appreciate that.
We're on the short end of the free throwing shooting stick last night, and Monty Williams took notice. Take a listen to this.
I'm not going to get into the complaining publicly about fouls. Just not going to do that, but you can look. You know, we had 16 free throws tonight. One person had 17.
Just saying. Not going to say so it, good. So I'll just say it. Hey, Brandon, Monty Williams' comments on the Game 3 free throw disparity are blank.
I'm so frustrated. Sports politics. This is exactly what it was. And it didn't start with Coach Bud. It started right on this show. We are one of the first sports shows that start in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. You could tune in, and we're one of the only ones on. And then you got Nick Wright on one side, and you got Kevin Wiles on the other. And all last week, that's all they were talking about. They were talking about, this is what Bud should do. Nick, you started this, and then Kevin, you doubled down on it. You showed this graph or whatever you did with all these different graphics. It's unbelievable how media ruins sports at times. This is all this is sports politics.
You're on the
Nick,
media.
You are wrong. Kevin Wiles, you are wrong. Wrong.
that's a great point. Brandon Marshall, who you can catch on literally every media platform in existence, is saying how media ruins sports. Meanwhile, more on that on my YouTube show later. I'm going to say this is doubly fair. It's fair for Monty to say, because this is what I wanted Bud to do. Take the fine and try to put the pressure on the refs. But it's also, here's what I would challenge Monty Williams when he's complaining about Giannis's 17 free throws. Show me the time Giannis went to the line and he wasn't fouled. It's not like he's drawing these fouls 25 feet from the basket with a rip through. He is, let me see it. Because he was getting hammered the entire game. I thought it was a fairly officiated game. The Suns are a finesse jump shooting team, so they're not going to get as many free throws.
That's right.
What's up? Let me see it, Wilds. Tell me. Let me see.
It's not radio. You can't just spring it on me and I don't have it ready to go. But there was one play early when Giannis got an offensive rebound over Devin Booker and elbowed him in the head, and then Devin Booker somehow got called for a foul as he was shooting. So that was the only one that is fair.
Wrong. Giannis did foul Devin Booker there. They missed that, but then it was Mikal Bridges came in from behind and fouled Giannis. That play was not a foul on Devin Booker. It was a foul on the guy who came from behind.
Start.
So take that. These are good calls. They're all good calls.
We're going to edit that out of the
radio. Not radio.
I went 16-16 to piggyback on Nick's point. 16 teams in the playoff. The Suns draw the absolute least fouls of anybody. But I do like Monty Williams saying one person had 17. Like, when you're really mad, you just don't even say Giannis. One person had 17. Who was it? I don't know. You guys are going to have to look it up. I'm not going to say it. One person did, though. I don't know who it was. I loved it.
Cut this.
All right, as we get ready for the All-Star game, let's talk some weird and wonderful from our national pastime. Yeah, Cards Cubs. Check out Chicago first baseman Anthony Rizzo using the netting to almost pull off this catch in foul ground. That's what we've got for the almost very wonderful this weekend. Wilds, what else you got for us?
Oh, we have a multi-year story. We're going to start in 2019. Altuve hits a home run. on the ALCS, sends the Astros to the World Series. Remember this? He's like, hey, don't take my shirt off. No, no, no. He's like, either he's got a wire on, he's got a buzzer on, or perhaps, as he claimed, he was just too shy or he might have a tattoo. No one bought it, but whatever, we're moving forward. So Saturday, Aaron Judge hits a home run, if we can move forward. Aaron Judge hits a home run, and he decides to pull an Altuve. He sort of buttons up his jersey. Watch this. Ooh, he buttons up his jersey. When asked about it after the game, this is what he said. Take a listen.
Whenever they keep the roof closed here, it's pretty chilly. So it's just, you know, let my team know to button up a little bit.
Not true. Old July, Houston in July, not chilly. So then Sunday, Maldonado hits a home run early in the game. What's he do? Oh, yeah, Aaron Judge, look at this. I'll pull my shirt down a little bit. Take that. I'm not wearing a wire buzz. Also like an odd self-troll for the Astros. And then finally, we're going to move to the bottom of the ninth. Two on. Astros are down two. Guess who's up? Altuve is up. Hits a home run and wins the game for the Astros. I'm sure he'll just go home and not even mention that Aaron Judge tried to troll him or that they were shamed because they cheated, even though they won the World Series. And they tear his shirt off. Look at this, fellas. No wires.
Yes.
No wires. Ah, take that, Aaron Judge. We win the game, and I'm shirtless. And that's the weird and the wonderful from the National Pastime.
That's Nick in 2 months right there.
It is a shirtless theme this morning. What a theme. Back to the NBA Finals. The Greek Freak could not be stopped again last night. Are the Suns drawing dead
against Giannis? They called the foul right there?
We discuss next. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Oh, my God.
Back here with NBA champ Antoine Walker. Good morning, Twan. We're talking game 3, Bucks and Suns, and the story last night was Giannis. Finished 41-13. He joins Shaq as the only guys with back-to-back 40-10 games in the finals. And Twan, you said last week you wanted him to make free throws. He made 13 of them last night. Hello! He's also closing in on some finals records held by a guy named Mike, which he was asked about after the game.
Michael Jordan had 4 straight 40-point games against the Suns in the NBA Finals.
I'm not Michael Jordan.
Is that in jeopardy?
I'm not Michael Jordan. 4 40 points in a straight 2.
4 in a row.
Yeah, I'm not Michael Jordan. But you know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all. You know, just take care of business, doing our job.
Okay, so check this out. This helps put into perspective the amazing postseason Giannis is having. 11 30-10 games, just 2 behind Shaq's playoff record. All right, Twan, what do you make of Giannis's performance?
Well, Jenna, guys, this is actually, you know, we talk about certain guys, and we got to get this guy his credit. Let's talk about first, we didn't know if he was going to play, and we all thought if he played game 3, that'll be great. You know, we always give LeBron his flowers on how he take care of his body and able to get back from injuries. But Giannis has shown great pain tolerance, and to be able to bounce back, we got to give him a lot of credit for that. But to put together an NBA performance, I mean, an NBA Finals performance that he's putting together right now is simply amazing. I thought last night he played with poise. He let the game come to him. He was not aggressive as far as trying to just overly shoot the basketball. He was efficient. Got to the free throw line, wanted to get to the free throw line, did not take any bad jump shots, and he usually takes 5 or 6 bad jump shots in the game trying to find his offense. He did not do that. He continually attacked the basket, and maybe that's because he started to see the ball go in the basket from the free throw line. But I thought it was a very dominant performance. He knew they needed it. He came back, and I said this on Friday. He's going to continue to get better as the series goes along. You got to remember that he is the best player in this series. He's going to continue to get better as the series goes along. So you have to understand that. But it's also true about the Bucks. I thought the energy and effort that they gave, I thought Chris Middleton with his defensive performance to me was better. he wasn't worried about scoring and just standing on the side and watch Giannis play. He continued to play the game and not worry about that. So just a great total effort. I know we're talking about Giannis right now, but he's playing at an unbelievable level. He's putting separating himself. And we always talk about guys that are in that elite superstar status. But the way this finals goes, I played with a guy named D. Wade who had one of the best finals ever. And I talk about this often a lot. And I'm seeing the same similarities. How he's putting a team on his back. Young 26-year-old, two-time MVP, that's putting his team on his back and is trying to will his team to a championship. Obviously, he's far away from that. But after three games, he's been nothing short but amazing. So we have to give him his flowers on that, and hopefully it continues because this could be a great series.
What type of flowers you want to give him, Twan? What you want me to send him? You want me to send him roses? let me know what flowers you want me to send Giannis.
What you going to do, Brandon, before this series? I would say game five, you'll be giving them out. Right now, you still got a little room to wait before you send the flowers.
Right. I mean, listen, another easy 40. I'll send them, I don't know, maybe some sunflowers, I don't know. Look, another easy 40, another easy 10. I mean, to me, that's easy for Giannis, and he's been doing it all playoffs. Not obviously 40, but I think he's averaging, what, Nick, 29 points or 30 points a game, something that's insane. Right. The bigger story for me is 13 for 17 from the free throw line. Is that what we're talking about? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. 13 for 17 from the free throw line. Are you kidding me? That's what we're doing, Giannis? Look, all right. I love what I saw last night from Giannis. Giannis is unstoppable. The problem is, on the other side, they were so flat. So, yeah, Giannis can do this every night, night in, night out. But at the end of the day, if those boys on the other side is doing what they're supposed to be doing, Nick, then they're not sitting here with a game with one win. They're not sitting here, you know, still in this series. I don't know what happened with Booker. I don't know what happened with Ayton. You know, those boys need to find a way to get it done. So, look, Giannis, yeah, phenomenal. Great job. Bravo to you. You guys played them twice in the regular season. You played them, you know, for the third time this series, and you finally got a win. But at the end of the day, the Suns are a better team, and this will be a gentleman's sweep. That's what it will be, Nick.
Well, okay. I mean, well, not if Giannis keeps doing this. Now, if Giannis keeps doing this, it absolutely will not be a gentleman's sweep. And if Giannis can keep doing this, yeah, I know. And that's why the Bucks are in a great position. But I want to focus on Giannis, not the series as a whole. Because Antoine said a lot of very good things about Giannis, but he didn't say this. This is how you become not just potentially an NBA champion, but this is how you become the best player in basketball. Don't care about the holes in his game. Talked about that on Friday. Nobody did that to Shaq when everyone's like, okay, Shaq's the best player in the league. You know how I know? Nobody can stop it. And Shaq, in those three straight championships with the Lakers, his NBA Finals numbers were bananas. The first one, he was 38-12 on 60%. The next one, I think he was 34-15-5. And then he was like 33-13-4. All of them around 60% or better. Well, that is what Giannis is doing in these finals, despite the fact that game one, he was clearly not 100%. This was his second straight 40-point double-double. A little context on that. Can we give the full list of people, not in one finals, but in a career, that have multiple 40-point double-doubles in the finals? Because it's a handful of super old guys. LeBron's done it 6 times. Shaq did it 5 times. Jerry, Elgin, Havlicek, Pettit. That's careers. Careers. Giannis has done it in two of his first three finals games. If you guys want to dive further into the numbers, Basketball Reference, they've done this for the last 35 years. The database goes back 35 years. They have a thing called game score, okay? A game score of greater than 35 is absolutely unbelievable. Only LeBron has finals games, more than two finals games, with a game score above 35. Giannis has done it in the last two finals games. We are watching a similar performance to what D. Wade did in 06, when it's like, oh my God, it's one of the best finals we've ever seen. and Wilds, this is what is to me so concerning for Phoenix. There's no counter to this. There's none. It is like when you were playing Shaq. I hope our guys play great and his teammates play poorly. Because you can play zone, he will crush you. You can put Ayton on him, he'll get him in foul trouble. You can put Jay Crowder on him, he'll get by him. There is no counter to it. And it is, to me, not a coincidence that Giannis has 3 40-point double-doubles in these playoffs. They have come in the three biggest spots. Game 7 against Brooklyn, and then the last two finals games, which are really the first two finals games where he was close to healthy. And so it is an all-time performance that we are seeing thus far in these finals, and I don't see any reason to believe he won't keep it up, Wilds.
Well, yeah, the only person that can beat Giannis is sort of like his own ego, where he says, like, you know what? I'm a two-time MVP. I should be able to hit this open jumper. And then he starts taking them. If he keeps on turning those down and keeps on not even looking for them, just go to the hole. If we can put up the graphic on how many points in the paint the Bucks have been scoring, he's just gotten better and better and better, closer and closer. So, Brandon, I think this is sort of a sign of dominance. And I also think, like, remember when we have Mangini on and he talks about certain players being force multipliers, right? So it's not only what shows up on the stat sheet, it's kind of the trickle-down effect. The trickle-down effect of Giannis's dominance here is also Ayton comes out of the game. So once you get Ayton in foul trouble, and then he can't sort of exert his will or play with force like Monty Williams is talking about, he's got to play tentative, and his offensive game goes away. It's a force multiplier where you start to see Giannis affect the game in other ways. Cam Johnson was getting hot, and Giannis was like, you know what? Give me the ball. Give me the ball. I want to score on Cam Johnson. He's feeling himself a little too much after dunking on poor P.J. Tucker, who's trying to take a charge. Not that impressive of a dunk. So I think not only is Giannis impressive on the stat sheet, everything that there's a trickle-down effect makes the Bucks even more dominant.
But wow, there's so much more to it than that. There's also the leadership. Remember last game, you saw him on sideline pounding the chairs, and he's screaming in a good way at Middleton and Drew Holiday. Bud is sitting in the corner watching him, and he's saying, "Come on, guys, I need you." That he dominated that game as well. And then this whole approach all year, not getting too high, not getting too low. This dude is not only getting it done on the court, but he's also a phenomenal leader, and that's why you see him in his position. And Twan, you brought it up, but we're not talking about it enough. That injury, this dude missed two games, the last two games in a Hawks series. That's a big deal. For this dude to hyperextend his knee the way he did and to come back so fast, and he said it, I thought my season was done. I thought I was out for a year, not a season, because I could have just been a couple more weeks. He said a year, and now he's actually playing better than he was before the knee injury. We need to talk about that. This dude, yeah, I know he's called the freak, but at the end of the day, man, this dude is just built different.
I think what you got to understand, what we got to give him his credit for, is that Giannis has, and I've been very critical of him on this show, where I've talked about Giannis's gaps and things that he needs to work on to become a better player. But what's great about him is he tunes all those things out and he continues to just play basketball to be able to dominate the game. We have to give him credit for that. He's dominated this series. He understands that the Phoenix Suns do not have anybody that can guard him. And we get on Bud. We talk about Bud and not being able to make adjustments. Monty Williams has to make an adjustment. I don't think they can win this series with Giannis averaging 40 moving forward. Because the one thing about his 40 is different than other guys' 40. He's not going to come down and shoot 35 times. He still has the eye to pass the ball, to make the right play, and then he's attacking the basket. It's not always about him making free throws. He gets you in the penalty. That's why they get to the line. Other guys get to the line, too.
Yep.
So he's going to get your guys in foul trouble. And that's what happened with Aiden. So Monty Williams has to make some changes. And I know it's tough to do because you can't create another guy that's going to be 6'8", 6'9", and power forward. But maybe some trapping. You got to change up your defense. You're not going to win this series with this guy playing at the level that he's playing at right now. And I know Monty Williams understands that. They're going to have to figure out something.
Yeah. And last night, you know how I know Monty Williams, as great of a coach as he is, was searching last night? He played the Frank Kaminsky card. That barely worked in the Big Ten. It ain't going to work in the NBA Finals. Like, he got there is no great card to play in that spot. But I know, Brandon, I understand that you think the Suns, even if Giannis scores 40, can win the series. But I want to stay on Giannis just for a moment, because we keep saying, yeah, he'll be able to score 40. I think because LeBron did it a bunch of times recently, people don't understand how rare 40 points in a finals game is, okay? Kevin Durant, as great as he is, he's played in four finals, has one 40-point finals game. Kobe Bryant played in 37 NBA finals games. He scored 40 one time. In the last 40 years, only LeBron, Michael, and Shaq have scored 40 plus in a finals career three or more times. Giannis has done it twice in less than a week. Like, it is what we're seeing is not
coming
normal.
Off a hyperextension of the knee.
Is, yeah, right. And that is not. I don't know that they're going to be able to overcome it.
But
Brandon.
But this is the thing here. Hold on. Time out. It's about wins. That's what it's about, right?
So yeah, he's
literally averaging 40 points. He's literally averaging 40 points against the Suns, and they have one win. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about they're 1-4 right now. So I need to see it again. Okay, great. Yeah. 40 points, that's 10 fair. Rebounds, 15 rebounds. Doesn't matter. I want to see some wins. That's what I want to see.
Okay. I'm
right,
excited for Friday morning,
because
Thursday night we'll get or Wednesday night we'll get to see the win.
Wednesday night will be game four. We'll see if he does it again. Hey, can we talk some Suns and some Devin Booker? How much of the game three loss rests on his shoulders? We'll discuss. But first, it's that time of the week. Time to check in on Aaron Rodgers.
You're one of the most popular players in your sport. Everybody wants to know what your plans are for 2021. What are you going to do?
I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this week, and then I'm going to get back to working out and figure things out in a couple weeks.
Back here, first things first, we got Antoine Walker still joining us. So we're talking about the fallout from Game 3 after the Suns came up short. Look, you can't tell the story without talking about Devin Booker. Not a great night for Devin Booker. Shot the lights out in games 1 and 2, but just 3 of 14 last night from the field, and 0 minutes played in the fourth quarter. Here he was after the game.
I wasn't well, obviously, but you know, there's nights like that, and you know, the most important part to me is winning the game, and we didn't do that. So, you know, I'm more frustrated about that. But we have a few days off here. We're going to get back right. Going to go over film and be ready Wednesday.
All right, Antoine, I'll start with you. Not a great night from Devin Booker. Still a young player. How much of the Suns' Game 3 loss do you put on his shoulders?
You have to put a lot of it on him. This is a guy that they rely on to get you 25 to 30 points a night. We know every night may not be efficient shooting, but you have to be able to deliver. I think one thing with Devin Booker's finding out about his game is that going into the summer and next season, he's going to have to learn how to mix it up a little bit. Great jump shooter, one of the best mid-range games that we've seen, but he has to figure out a way to get to the foul line, make the game easier for himself. Stop putting so much pressure on your jump shot. When you're a great scorer, you can do it a lot of different ways, but most great scorers know how to get to the line, get some easy buckets, maybe get something in transition. Don't rely everything to be heavily on your jump shot. And then also, continue to play the game. You know, at this game, Chris Paul, those guys were in the game. They were still, the bench was playing well. Cam Johnson came off the bench. Aiden got out to a good start. Sometimes you have to figure it out as the game goes along. Now, I do not like Monty Williams not playing him in the fourth quarter. I'll just take you back to a scenario in my history of playing where I decided to be the leader of the team, and Durant, I was a part of the biggest comeback in NBA playoff history in the Eastern Conference Finals, where I ran it when I went off on Paul Pierce. It wasn't the fact that I thought we could actually win the game. I just wanted him to get his confidence back, start to be aggressive. I felt like he was not being the person that he needed to be, the player he was trying to be, and we end up coming back winning, and Paul ends up having a monster fourth quarter. it's probably not that serious, being it's just game three. But they need Devin Booker. They cannot win this series with Devin Booker scoring 10 points. It's just not going to happen. I love Bridges. I love Jay Crowder. And Jay Crowder shot the basketball well, Cam Johnson. They don't have the capabilities of a Devin Booker that Chris Paul is going to need. He's going to need that Robin to make things happen for him. So they cannot win this series with him having 10 points. He's going to have to figure it out. And it can't just be jump shots. He's going to have to be getting to the line and making some other things happen, getting out in transition. That's where he's going to have to make up for sometimes when the shot is not going well for you in the half court.
So, listen, I agree with almost all of that. I don't put last night on him, however. Last night, to me, was more about what the Bucks did than what the Suns didn't do. But on the Suns' side of things, there is a concerning sign for Booker. And Wilds, I'm going to bounce a couple numbers off you. 36% from the field and 29% from three. That's Devin Booker over the last 8 playoff games. Since game one against the Clippers, after that to right now, he has been below 50% shooting in every single game. In fact, of the 19 playoff games they've played, he's been over 50% shooting 4 times. And each series, his percentages have dropped. He was a 48-43 guy, percentage from field and three against the Lakers. That dropped to 48-31 against Denver, then 38-29 against the Clippers. And this series against Milwaukee, it's 38-33. So 3-point percentage up a tiny bit. And in this series against Milwaukee Wilds, he's had one good half. He was 8 of 21 in game one. He was 4 of 12 in the first half of game two, and he was bad the entire game last night. Now, the second half of game two, he was outstanding and helped them win the game. But I don't know if he's wearing down. This is the most games he's ever played in a year by a wide margin. This is obviously the deepest into a year he's ever played, having never made the playoffs. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but this is a guy who makes his living on tough shots. It's why they bring up the Kobe stuff, because it's like, wow, he makes such difficult contested shots. Well, yeah, he does. But it's hard to get easy points that way. And he has actually been struggling from an efficiency standpoint since game one against the Clippers when he went off for 40. He's been a 36% shooter and less than 30% from three. That is concerning for the Suns because that sample size is growing and growing.
Okay, so unless he's quietly hurt and we don't know about it, or unless he's severely fatigued, sort of like long-term fatigued from the amount of games, since they had a bunch of days off and they're not playing again until Wednesday, I would have gone the opposite way, Brandon, and I would have just let him shoot out of it, right? Just like, hey, we're probably going to lose this game. We're down big, but we're not going to give up. I'm going to go the exact opposite. I'm going to throw you in, like, find your shot. Just get some shots, get in rhythm. Now, Williams has obviously built up such so much, like, goodwill and capital with the players that you got to see it here, where you see, like, huh, you know what? You just benched what I think is a superstar in the fourth quarter of a finals game, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of pushback. So I actually think it's an interesting chess move from Monty Williams. And if Devin Booker comes back huge on Wednesday, where I think we can point to this and be like, wow, brilliant move. If he continues to struggle, I don't know what we do. I would prefer he shoots out of it. What would you do?
Yeah. This is a different star, right? This is a star that is built a little differently. He doesn't have an ego like some others. And then also this team, they've been selfless all year. That's why they're in this position. So I think it was a bold move, but it probably was a good move. Sometimes you can look in a player's eyes and you can know it's just not their night. And sometimes the best thing for them is to hit the showers a little early. And that's what they did. They just sent them to the bench just a little early. But Nick, I looked at those numbers too, and the numbers told me a different story. Now, I do think there's something to look at, right? Because you got to look at his performance. It's like, what's going on now? But basically, it's you got to look at when he got his nose broken. Pat Beverly broke his nose, okay?
In that Clippers series.
Before that, the way I looked at it was before then, he was damn near 50% from the field, almost 40% from three. since then, now you're starting to see his play and those percentages decrease. So now we're looking at 36% from the field and 28% from three, right? So yeah. I don't know if it's one of those things where the nose is still playing a major factor right. into this. You know, since he's come back and he's taken off the mask, he's been hit two times in the nose. There's been two times where we've seen him fall to the ground, hold his nose. So maybe he's afraid, Twan, to actually dribble, penetrate because of the contact. I don't know, but I think you got to look at when he got his nose broken and see the difference before
well, that
and after.
Is the... That,
well,
go
let me,
ahead,
let me, let, well, let me help you out, Nick and Brandon. I think, Nick, those are great stats, and that was great to point out. I think those speak volumes. But let's be honest. Played against the Lakers the first round, they had nobody that can guard him. You played against a Denver, a scrappy team. They made it a little tough, but really nobody to guard him. The Clippers series was grueling. You had Pat Beverly after game one, made it tough for him every which way possible. He went against one of the toughest defenders that ever played a game of basketball in Patrick Beverly, and it wore him down. And it shows. On top of that, Brandon, I think the broken nose played a big factor too. You know, this guy showed a lot of toughness playing. Obviously, you saw him try to play with the mask. He took it off. He couldn't do it. You never know how that could be affecting him. But I'm not going to make no excuses for him. All those things are great. When you a scorer, the best thing a scorer wants to do is to see the ball go in the basket. So whether that's get out and out on the break, getting a layup, is that getting to the free throw line, that's what shooters do to get out and get off the bad shooting slop. They got to see something go in the basket. He has to start games off like that. It's tough to start games off shooting threes and shooting 15-footers. You got to figure it out. Get a layup. Maybe draw up a lob for him. These are things that get you out your slump to get going. I'm going to say it again. Right. He cannot have 10-point performances if the Phoenix Suns think they're going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
No.
It will not happen. They don't have enough offensive firepower for him to have too many performances like that.
No, because Ayton is super efficient, Ayton's not going for 30. Ayton's going to, you know, the best Ayton game is 9 for 11 for 20 points, right? And Chris Paul, we've seen it a few times, but we know Chris Paul typically is not going to go north of 25 points, even though he's had a few monster scoring performances this postseason. The guy who can erupt is Booker. And Brandon, I wasn't even, I'll be totally honest, thinking about the broken nose since he took the mask off, but that is the moment.
Right, right.
It is from game two of the Clippers series to now, right. to when he broke his nose, and it's when the percentages have really plummeted. So I think there is probably something there.
And like Twan said, he can't rely just on his shot, but he may be relying on his shot because since then he's been hit, like I said, twice in that nose. We've seen him drop to the ground holding his nose, so he may be afraid of contact right now. But the conversation just changed for me, Twan. The conversation changed when you just said Pat Beverly, that one of the greatest defenders ever. Like, you know better than I do. I know he's known for defense, but... I mean, you kind of snuck that in there. You, like, threw that in there. You sprinkled that in there. Because I know you want to take that back? You want to retract that?
Well, he had a bad ending to the season. He's from Chicago. That's my boy. I just wanted to show him a little love, man. That's
there
okay.
you go.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Now I got it. And
exactly what it is. Well, the Bucks took full advantage of Devin Booker having another off night. Did they flip the script in this series with their big win? We'll talk about that next. First things first. Antoine, thank you.
All right.
Thursday on FS1, the U.S. men's national team has a big group stage battle against Martinique in the Gold Cup. It all kicks off Thursday, 9:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Which accent will I do for that? Probably an American one. Time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Suns Bucks, game three. And just like in game two, the story was Giannis. Just total domination from the Greek freak. 41 points, 13 rebounds. The guy actually hit his free throws. Bucks look so much more comfortable now that they're home. They came alive shooting. They got help from the two question marks we had, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. We got a series now. Milwaukee gets the much needed win last night. Afterwards, Giannis on his incredible journey.
I've come a long way just to be able to, sit here, being interviewed by you guys, playing in these games, being with my teammates, thinking I'm going to be out for a year, coming back. Like, it's been a long journey, and I'm trying to enjoy every single moment of it. And I know I've said in the past that I'm going to be doing this for a while, for the next 10, 12, whatever years, whatever my goal is. So I'm just trying to enjoy each day, try to take as much as possible from each day and try to be in the moment and just being able to be out there.
It's a series and understanding that and, understanding it's the NBA Finals. And, I said it after last game, this team's not going to give in. They're going to keep playing all the way through. So we have to bring that same effort, that we had in the first two games. And I think we'll be in good shape.
Well, I don't know. Not if Giannis keeps playing the way he's playing. You guys want to see a list of guys with consecutive 40-point double-doubles in the finals? You got Shaq, you got LeBron, and you have Giannis. There's your list. All right, Nick, has this series flipped after the dominant way this Bucks team won last night?
I believe it has, and I think there's so many interesting things to get to here, including, do you think Chris Paul, when he was sitting next to Devin Booker, looked at that box score and was like, wait, let me look at, you really went 3-for-14? 3-for-14, bro. It's game three of the finals. Need a little more from you. I wonder what he was actually looking on the box score.
Thank you.
It's not like, what are you doing here, man? Come on, I'm 36. This is my best chance to win a title. Need a little more from you, my guy. So, all right. Here's the situation. Situation is, as far as storylines go, as enticing as the Suns storyline is, the Bucks storyline over the last few years falls in line with a lot of getting over the hump, first championship for an all-time great player. Jordan, obviously, the Pistons beat him up, and then en route to his title, beat the Pistons. LeBron, the Celtics beat him up. He had the failure against the Mavs. And then en route to his first title, he got over the hump of the Celtics and then ended up playing great in those finals. For Giannis, the Heat knock you out. You opt to play them in round one. You're up against a Nets team that everyone says is a favorite and a guy in Durant that you're similar to in that the league has never seen a seven-footer like KD. And the league's never seen a seven-footer like Giannis. But you're discussed so differently. Like, KD is discussed as if the watching him play basketball is just always a beautiful act. And Giannis, it's like, well, he can score 35, but look at how he does it. And you end up outplaying Durant in Game 7 in his building. And then you get hurt and somehow come back. And now you have put together back-to-back magnificent finals performances. And Brandon, I think there is tremendous confidence that comes from knowing my team has the best guy. So I think for Middleton and Holiday and Portis and Lopez, they are able to play with a different level of confidence than the Suns, who I think they know their most important player is Chris Paul, but their best might be Booker. And Booker hasn't been right as of late, except for the second half of game two. So for all those reasons, Brandon, I think the Bucks feel a hell of a lot better headed into game four.
Right.
And I think the Bucks are the favorites now.
Yeah, they may have the better guy, but they don't have the better team. The Suns been the better team all year. I mean, outside of the Jazz, we're talking about the most complete team, the most balanced team in the NBA. Let's not get that twisted. Friday, before we broke, what did I say? I said, look, we're expecting a team to win the Bucks to win four out of the next five games against a team that lost only four games in the last 2 months. The old adage, players got to have, short memory. That's for players. That's not for fans. That's not for the men and women covering the sport. Like, we got to remember this. Sure. Like, just a couple nights ago, we were talking about the Bucks being done. Well, Nick, you were the only one that you called this. You said, look, they will win. They will lose the first game, the second game, win the third, and you have them winning. I don't see that happening. I'm just playing the numbers game as far as percentages. They have a 13% chance of winning, right? They're down 0-2. They won the third game, okay? And in this situation, out of 174 games or finals, there's only been a handful of teams to pull this off. So I'm playing a numbers game here. At the end of the day, this came down to two things. You look at the Bucks, they played efficient, they played well. They're big three. First time those three guys, Drew Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis, playing efficient ball together, 42% or better from the field. And on the other side, Booker bench, and then Ayton, he fouled, pretty much fouled out early in the game. So, Wiles, to me, that is the story. And you talk about, has the finals flipped? Absolutely not. We know who the better team is. Booker will get it together. Ayton won't foul out early. I know he didn't foul out, but damn, it seemed like he fouled out.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on, man. Second quarter. Yeah, please. Yeah. It's the same thing in my mind. We need him to play better. We need Chris Paul. All right, to be more aggressive. What are you doing sitting back? Go get it done. You're 37 years of age. Let's go.
All right, so we saw the Suns come back and win game four in Staples Center. So, Nick, that makes me think, like, you know what? The Suns have a sort of fortitude to sort of fight back. But the biggest question is, what's up with Devin Booker? And I think it was your superstar theory, and I might mangle it so you can help me out, of like, you're not a superstar if you can put up a dud game and be free of criticism. Like, the guy put up a dud of a game, was benched in the fourth quarter, and we're just like, what about Giannis? Hey, Ayton's in foul trouble. If I feel like NBA media is actually like low-key dissing Devin Booker by not making a big enough deal about how poorly he played. I think he's a superstar. A few days ago, it was like, I could win MVP. People are literally comparing him to Kobe. He just put up 10 points and was benched. So maybe it's a masterful chess move from Monty Williams, and he's going to go out and explode in game four. But if it's not, we're seeing something really odd happening to one of the bright young superstars in the league.
Here's the thing. It's not that odd. The guys who, and Brandon's point that it's been different since he broke his nose is correct. But here's the other thing about guys who try to emulate not Kobe's mindset, which was one of the best ever, but Kobe's game. Kobe Bryant was one of one in NBA history because he made impossible shots. That is not a duplicable model. We saw Tatum the year he was like, oh, I'm going to play like Kobe. No, you're going to shoot a terrible percentage. Like, Kobe's shots were so difficult. Devin's not getting anything easy. So I don't know how much that's going to change, Jenna.
We got to go.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.